This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at National Sports Radio 95.9. Today, I'll be recapping Week 2's games in the NFL, talking about Week 3, the upcoming games, as well as some fantasy football. Waiver wire Week 3, as we are approaching it fast. Talk about some players you should target for your waiver wire pickups this week. What a great Week 2. I enjoyed watching those games. There were some fun games to watch. Our Tennessee Titans coming back down by almost 2 touchdowns to win against Seattle. We saw what happened. Buffalo looking like how they are. Just a dominant performance against the Miami Dolphins. The Cowboys-Chargers game did not go down as I thought. I picked the Chargers to win that game. But before I get to any of that stuff, let's talk about some things that's been going on in the NFL. And some of my reactions I want to give you about Week 2. The first and foremost, Aaron Rodgers. We've seen in the media everyone just start jumping on Aaron Rodgers, all the drama, all the stuff that was not caused by him. Did he facilitate some of it? Maybe just a little during the offseason, but he definitely did not start it. And we were all concerned, the media and pundits and what have you, we're all concerned of, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look the same. What are they going to do? What's going to happen? The last dance, blah, blah, whatever. Relax. We need to pump the brakes on it because what he did against Detroit is what every quarterback is expected to do. Beat the teams are not as good as you. We were not worried about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wasn't worried about Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't worried about anything. The coaching staff was, but the players weren't, and Aaron Rodgers said it. And Aaron Rodgers did what he did. Came out, threw 4 touchdowns, looking Aaron Rodgers-esque, gets the W, and now the Green Bay Packers are back where they are. So I was asked, how would you feel it? How would you feel this blank? The Green Bay Packers are what? What are they going to be towards the end of the year? And I thought to myself, how do I answer that? Are they a top 3 team in the NFC? Yes. Will they go all the way? No. Last year was their window. I really believe everything fell into place for them last year to go to the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers were kind of, whatever. The New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers had that road. They had the way to go. And if you watched last year's game against that Buccaneers team, they had their chance to go to the Super Bowl. But Aaron Rodgers, just for some strange reason, did not look Aaron Rodgers-esque during the playoffs last year. So I really feel like that was his window last year. This year, I feel like that window's gone. I don't think he's going to go. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I don't even believe they're going to go to the NFC Championship. Well, maybe, depending on how that bracket looked, because I have the Rams, who look awesome, as well as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are picking off right where they left off. Because if you look at what, I mean, come on, Tom Brady, 9 touchdowns so far, after 2 weeks, 4 of it going to Bronk. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers look like the team to be in the NFC, followed by the LA Rams. The Rams look awesome, and I've been telling people, watch out for the Rams. Watch out for Matthew Stafford. He's going to open up that playbook, and he's going to make that team even better, and he has. The Rams can turn on whenever they want, and it looks like they don't. It just baffles me that how they're not getting talked as much as they are. It's all about the Raiders. I mean, the Cardinals, if you will. Kyler Murray has been looking phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from the Arizona Cardinals. But they almost lost to the Minnesota Vikings. Had they not missed that last attempt field goal that went wide right, Arizona Cardinals would be 1-1. Then you look at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks, and this is what surprised me the most. When they play the Tennessee Titans, I picked the Seahawks to beat the Titans because the Titans looked flat Week 1 against the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they just looked like they just did not care. Were they overconfident? Did they not really take in that they're playing the Arizona Cardinals? They thought maybe they could beat them. Maybe they could just kick off and just like start. No, they looked flat Week 1. Week 2, it started off the exact same way. And you guys are watching that Titans-Seahawks game. The Hawks were controlling that game. And on my podcast, I said that in order for the Tennessee Titans to get it going, was you got to get Derrick Henry the rock. Let him carry you. The Titans go through Derrick Henry. That's how this offense is run in the Tennessee Titans organization. You run through Derrick Henry and let everything else settle all. A.J. Brown, he was kind of there. He had a couple catches for a little over 40 yards. Julio Jones, what a bounce back game for him. Over 100 yards, looked great, looked in sync with Ryan Tannehill. But let's not forget who got it all started was Derrick Henry, who looked pissed, like just pissed the first week of the game against the Arizona Cardinals, where he was just like he wanted to self-destruct after he got just basically abused by the Arizona Cardinals. So he knew he was going to come out week two, and he was going to take it to the Seahawks, and that's what he did. Ran all over them, caught balls all over them. He did everything for that offense. Back to leading the league in rushing again after week two. So Titans, that's your formula, guys. Don't make it cute. I know you got all these new toys. I know you got the Julio Jones new toy. He's flashy, he's great, whatever. But your offense is dictated through and runs through Derrick Henry. Get Derrick Henry started late. And that's what they did in the second half, because they were down by, I want to say it was like 30 to 14, 30 to something, whatever, going into the fourth quarter. And they came back and won that game. And I was impressed. Maybe that was the wake-up call to give them like, you know what? Now the season starts. Because guess what? You've got the Colts coming in this week with no Carson Wentz, who for some reason, I don't know how, but he's sprained both ankles. I don't know. You sprained one ankle, and then you over-exaggerated the other ankle, and you sprained it, and now he's not playing this week. Now you've got this backup quarterback, Easton, and we don't know what to expect out of him. Guess what? Now you get to go up maybe two games in a row. You might be able to get a winning streak going, because you're going to need it, because you have some tough teams coming in on your schedule in the next 3 to 4 weeks. This is the time you need to win those games. I'm really surprised that you really beat the Seahawks, though, because we saw what Russell Wilson did against that Colts team. Now, granted, the Colts defensive backfield, it's not that great. But 3 for 4 touchdowns, 3 for 300 yards. All of a sudden, he's in an MVP conversation, right? He did it the last couple years. He did it last year. Started doing it again week two. Had their way against that Tennessee Titans defense, who we all know is very vulnerable to the run and pass. Chris Carson had a day. You just felt like, okay, Russell Wilson is going to completely destroy that defense, that Titans defense. And miraculously, the Titans decided to buckle up, play football, get themselves going, have that short-term memory that they did not have week one, and continue to fight, which ultimately led them to win the game. That's what y'all need to do. The NFL is all about short-term memory. Like if you mess up on a play or whatever, guess what, guys? And most players, if not all, will tell you that play is over. Move on to the next one. But unfortunately, the difference between week one and week two was that when they played against that Arizona Cardinals team, it was just like quicksand. They just kept digging. They kept sinking more and more and more and more, and just things were not getting even better. And they're just making all these like lapse mistakes and what have you. Week two, different narrative. They decide they're going to fight back. They were down by 2 touchdowns, 2 scores. They fought back and ended up winning the game. Good for you, Titans. Now let's see if you can go carry that momentum to week three, because you have a very vulnerable Colts coming into town, and you should be able to beat them. They've got no wide receivers. They got no quarterback. The defensive backfield is suspect. You should have your way. You should have your way. But you need to run the ball with Derrick Henry, feed the rock to him, get that offense going, and then build up from there. But I'm proud of you, Titans. I'm proud of you. I like what I saw. Finally, you showed grit. You fought. This is the team that all Titan fans and most experts knew you were capable of playing. You're supposed to be one of the top four or five teams in the AFC. Maybe a Super Bowl representative of the AFC. You've beaten the Chiefs. Cleveland, it's a toss-up. But Cleveland, they're vulnerable right now because they just lost Landry. He's out for the next couple weeks. They've got that running That, you know, of course they got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Odell Beckham has yet to really play, so we don't know where he's at game, like football shape, game shape, if you will, whatever you want to call it. We don't know where he's at right now because they're taking him, they're taking that whole situation very slowly to make sure when he comes back, he's ready to come back. Buffalo looked good last week. They destroyed Miami. And they were pissed too because they gave up a late rally and they lost to the Steelers when they had that game won. They came in, dominated Miami from start to finish. Now, Josh Allen hasn't looked great. He hasn't. I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen, but he has not looked great so far as the start of the season. But it's only week two going to week three, right? They always say that it takes about a couple of weeks to kind of get into football shape for these teams. They only had a couple preseason games. They played maybe a percentage of it, maybe 20 plays, what have you. It's really hard for them to kind of get into game shape. They don't really like to practice. So when the lights are on, the game start, and it's for real, it's going to take a couple weeks. They should be getting into game football shape now. This is where they're starting to get into that football, like, okay, week three, week four, we're ready to go week in, week out. The honeymoon is over. Sorry, I had a cough. It's just crazy how I just going over the games this past weekend and seeing like the teams that I felt like should have really dominated didn't dominate, but they end up pulling a victory, like the Tennessee Titans. I knew that was going to go to like in the 30s. Expect those type of games throughout the entire season because as long as until that defense starts to catch up with that offense, it's going to be more of this. So Titan fans, expect more of that. Buffalo, yes. Buffalo, you are one of the best teams in the AFC. Josh Allen needs to step up his game up a little bit more. You need to step it because your defense is getting there. Your defense is there. You guys just shot at the Miami Dolphins. I'm not a big Miami fan. I don't think Tua's great. I don't know Tua's hurt and all that. But Miami's still a good, well-coached team. And you just shut them out. So I am liking what I've seen from Buffalo. They got a tough matchup against Washington, who is, of course, my team, who I am terrified by because I watched the Thursday night game, and I'm thinking to myself, dang, man, I don't know. You're letting Danny Dimes, who's beat you four straight times, to run all over you. You don't look, and they didn't look like that top caliber defense that I thought they were going to look. But then it came to my mind and senses, and I was like, you know what? They did this exact same thing last year. It took them about 7 weeks for them to get into sync. You guys have the same defensive players. You have a rookie in Jamin Davis, that's your linebacker, and you have William Jackson outside in the corner. You got Landon Collins coming back from injury, so he's getting back. So I'm giving him a couple weeks. I'm scared and terrified against Buffalo, and I think Buffalo's going to win the game, but I'll give you my picks later in the week. But Buffalo has a chance to really get themselves going. The Tennessee Titans has a chance to get themselves going. But like as I was saying before, Aaron Rodgers, there's no drama. For all those people wondering or concerned if Green Bay's back, Green Bay never left. Guys, Green Bay never left. They're still good. The only problem I see with Green Bay competing against like the LA Rams of the world and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the world is that defense. Coach Barry, he's not a great defensive coordinator. I'm sorry. I've seen his work firsthand. He was a Washington football team defensive coordinator. Granted, they didn't have much talent and was god-awful. Then he went to become the linebackers coach over with the Rams. Or, you know, you probably, you know, overachieved a little bit because you have Aaron Donald. You're not really the defensive coordinator, but you're the linebackers coach. You overachieved with who? That's right, Aaron Donald, and you had the best corner in the league in Jalen Ramsey. Let the chips fall where they may. That's an easy defense to coach. And you had a high prolific offense with Sean McVay and passing the ball, running the ball. You had Cam Akers. I mean, you were balanced. Gets his opportunity. Goes to Green Bay and totally skunks it against the Saints week one. And it wasn't really about the defense. I know there was turning over the balls because, let's be real here, everyone got talks about Jameis Winston. Oh, he looked great, whatever. Guess what? Jameis Winston came back, and apparently he's back on earth because he looked like the old Jameis Winston week two against Carolina. Week one, threw for less than 200 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers was just not in sync and he just turned over the ball, whatever. And the Green Bay Packers just really played horrible defense. Then what happened? Went against Carolina and totally skunked it. Totally skunked it. And lost against the Carolina Panthers. But with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, guys, pump the brakes. They're fine. They're just they're okay. They're gonna be just fine. They're gonna run the NFC West, the NFC North. They're gonna win the division, and they're gonna go to the playoffs. But if you're asking me, where are they gonna go this season? It pretty much stops in the playoffs. I think they're gonna probably be maybe a divisional round knockout or NFC conference knockout. It'll be either the Rams, maybe even the Arizona Cardinals, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not really trusting the Seattle. I don't think Seattle's going to knock anyone off right now. I don't know where Seattle is right now. I'm still trying to figure them out because they look awesome week one, and then they gave up two double-digit lead to the Titans at home after leading after a half, which is very hard to do. It's very hard to beat Seattle at Seattle when they're leading by double-digit points after the half. I don't know. So let's pump the brakes on them. Then we've got the Dallas Cowboys. Guys, let me ask you a question. Are you guys really surprised that the Cowboys are doing as well as they are? I mean, they took Tampa Bay to the limits. They pushed them week one. Opening night. Great game. The battle between Dak Prescott and Tom Brady was great. Both offenses were just clicking, which is crazy. Ends up losing, but they look good. Do they look great? No, they look good. Is their defense much improved? Yeah, kind of. They give up 30-plus points, and I know it's Tom Brady. I mean, everyone knows how it's Tom Brady, right? But if we think about it, they look a lot like the 2020 Dallas Cowboys defense. And that's what I was expecting in week two against the LA Chargers, who has just as of a prolific offense, not as great in terms of wide receivers. I mean, but you got Mike Williams, and you've got Keenan Allen, you've got Eckler, you've got Cook at the tight end position, and Justin Herbert, who's looking great. Looked great against my week one Washington football team. But he's a second-year quarterback. Chargers decided to, and this is at home. Couldn't pull it through. Cowboys get the victory, 17-14. The defense looked much improved. I was impressed by that. Dan Quinn, hell of a job. Then I was asked the other day, do you think the Dallas Cowboys are the front runners to win the NFC East? Well, that's a trick question. Because we've seen this story before. We've read this, you know, this book of tales, if you will. The Cowboys look great offensively. Defensively, we don't know. They've taken a lot of hits, especially DeMarcus Lawrence out. They got a lot of hits on defense. They play Michael Parsons, who had probably one of the best appearances over the defense. He got a sack, and he looked pretty good at that as a defensive end. But do you think he's going to really stay there the rest of the year? Do you think he's going to really be able to hold up? I don't believe the Cowboys will win the AFC, the NFC North, the NFC East. I think the Washington football team will squeak out a win. But it all depends on this. The Washington football team defensively needs to figure it out. I've been pushing Taylor Heineke since the start of the season, prior to the start of the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick was not the answer. Was never the answer. Was never going to be the answer. Let's be real here. Taylor Heineke gives what Washington needs. That mobile quarterback who just needs to work a little bit more on his accuracy. But the fact that he's able to run, make plays with his feet is a big, big, big win for Washington. Because Washington's never drafted a quarterback in any draft that I know of since I've been born that has actually had sustained some type of success with them. Now, I know that RG3 was there. He's great for 1 year, and then all of a sudden that decided that whole situation blew up because he didn't want to play a certain way that Mike Shanahan wanted to play, and that thing just completely self-destructed, and everyone went their own way. Mike Shanahan's last year was there. Then they brought in Jay Gruden. Then RG3 gets hurt. Falls out of love. That whole relationship just basically dissolves, and he's on off to another team.
But if you look at the Heath Shulers and you look at the Trent Dil- the not the Trent Dilfers, God, what's the guy's name? Gus Frerotte was okay for a little while. Kirk Cousins was okay. I always told myself that for some strange reason, the Washington football team cannot draft a quarterback to save their life at all. They're always their bread and butter is always being able to get a free agent, bring him on the team, whether it be an undrafted free agent or a free agent from another team. Now, is Taylor Heinicke the quarterback of the future? That's debatable. That's yet to be seen. I don't know. I don't think so. Is he serviceable and great now? Yes. Come offseason, who knows? Because there's going to be a ton of quarterbacks that might be available. Deshaun Watson, maybe a Russell Wilson, maybe an A-Rod. Who knows? Who knows? But I believe Washington football team can play with the Dallas Cowboys. The only thing is they got to get that defense shored up a little bit. And they need Curtis Samuel back in that offense. Whatever he's dealing with, he's got 3 weeks. I know he's on injured reserve right now, but they need to get him back in the game. They need to get back on the practice field, get him healthy, get him right, because they play the Cowboys later in the season. Thank God. Can you imagine if they played him now? Cowboys would completely destroy them. Because the Washington football team's always struggled against mobile quarterbacks. You saw what Danny Dimes. I don't even know where Danny Dimes came from, but that's what we saw with the Giants this past weekend. Daniel Jones had 100, almost 100 yards rushing, a rushing touchdown, and passed the ball wherever, at ease against the Washington football team. The Giants? No, forget it. I'm not even looking at the Giants. I don't know. I think this is Daniel Jones' final year. I don't think they're going to resign him. I think they're going to just let him go. I don't even know what Daniel Jones is. Saquon Barkley, I think, is not where he used to be yet. I don't know. It might take him a couple more weeks. He looked pretty explosive for a couple carries in that game against Washington, but they decided to go away from him, and all of a sudden became a shootout, which completely surprised me. Then you have the Philadelphia Eagles. Lost to the 49ers last week, which I expected. They looked okay, but we've seen rookie coaches do this before, where they come out and they just say, they kind of shocked the world a little bit in the NFL. Like, oh, he's won the first couple games. Well, because no one really knows you yet. They don't know what kind of offense you're running. Give it a couple more weeks. They're going to have some game tape on you. Guess what? It's going to be really hard. So I'm not really buying into the Eagles. I'm not buying into Jalen Hurts. I'm not really buying into him whatsoever. Did you play in a close game against the 49ers? Yeah, you did. But the 49ers are hurt. They have no running back to save their life. Every running back they get is, I don't know who's hurt at the running back position more. Is it the Niners or the Ravens? Because they're both depleted at that running back position. Brandon Ayuk is still, you know, whatever. But Deebo Samuel blew up against the Eagles. So I don't see the Eagles contending against the NFC East. I don't see the Giants doing anything. I just think that it's going to be a close division, but I believe the Dallas Cowboys will tie with the Washington football team. That's what I see. I think they're both going to win one, and that's it. And they're going to go pretty, I think they're going to push out the rest of the division. I think they're going to go, you know, 4-0 or whatever it is against the rest of the division foes. So that's my take on that. I was really excited to see some of these other games. The biggest one I was really looking forward to was the Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs. We all knew that Lamar Jackson is 0-3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Got him at home. But don't come and tell me that, oh, did the Baltimore Ravens expose the Kansas City Chiefs? Are you kidding me? Expose what? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the one who fumbled the ball. He's the one who lost the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes threw for over 300 yards. Tyreek Hill, non-existent. I don't think he was used at all. I don't think he was a vital point in that game whatsoever. I think he was probably, I want to say he got maybe 4 catches. So we all know that defensive backfield with Marlon Humphrey, which also is depleted because of the loss of Marcus Peters not being in that defensive backfield, did a great job against that Kansas City team. But they're not, let's just say that they did not expose them. Lamar Jackson is on another level, guys. Like, he's just super, they should have beat the Raiders week 1.
It was just off a stupid fumble that cost them the game. And a lot of people are like, well, did the Ravens overlook the Raiders towards the Chiefs in week two? No, they game plan for the Raiders. They were beating the Raiders. They just turned over the ball. That was it. The Raiders made more plays. But they did not expose them. So let's hold off on the whole, like, we're going to pump. Because Kansas City Chiefs are still the number one team in the AFC. Arguably probably the best in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're like neck and neck. But Lamar Jackson is playing out of his mind now. He's doing everything he can. Like I've been telling you, he's RB1, QB1, RB2. He's doing everything. What's going to happen when the Ravens start to get really healthy in that running back position? Latavius Murray looked great in that backfield. He looked awesome. Hollywood Brown. Guys, one of my fantasy pickups this week for you guys, for waiver wires, go get Hollywood Brown. You need to pick him up. Because I believe they got the Detroit Lions this week. That's a guy you want to go target because Hollywood Brown, Sammy Watkins have been awesome. They've helped Lamar Jackson because they know they have little semblance of a running game that they have to require on the pass. It's Lamar Jackson running the ball, and when he wants to throw it, it goes to Sammy Watkins and Hollywood Brown. All day. So I'm really excited about where Baltimore's going. If they can get a player, maybe get Le'Veon Bell, maybe a little healthy, that he could basically come in as a third down back, utilize Murray. Maybe they've got something cooking there. Maybe they got something cooking there. Maybe that's a perfect cocktail to help them get them to the playoffs. So I'm not going to go and buy in the hype that the Baltimore Ravens exposed the Kansas City Chiefs. You don't expose the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs just made one less play than the Baltimore Ravens, which ended up helping Baltimore win. Okay? I think it was like at the very end of the game. So let's not get ahead of ourselves there as well. So I was looking at to see who the teams are the most that are left that are undefeated. You've got three from the AFC West. You got the Arizona Cardinals. You got the, that's right, my LA Rams, who I think are going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. And you got the San Francisco 49ers. Then you got the Raiders, the Broncos, Carolina Panthers. And God, I'm forgetting the other team. And I was asking myself, who do I feel like is going to be the team that I'm going to buy and sell? Like a team that I feel like, oh, wow. You know, they're looking really solid. And there's other teams like, I'm kind of questioning if they're going to be like, oh, how can I forget the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? So Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we know they're solid. LA Rams, we know they're solid. Arizona, they're pushing it. The 49ers, I don't know if I can buy them yet. I don't know. I don't think they're as good as their record indicates they are. The LA Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm buying. And I was suspect on these guys because I was thinking to myself, look, the Las Vegas Raiders gave up. Offensively, we know what they could do. Derek Carr has over 900 yards passing in the first 2 weeks. He leads the NFL in passing. He's been balling. Balling with Ruggs and Waller. Josh Jacobs misses week two. Still doing his thing. Very underrated. I was just more concerned about that defensive side for the Raiders. They had no one. I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know what to expect. And they really shocked me. Quality win against the Ravens. Another quality win against Pittsburgh. We all believe is a better team than the Raiders. Then you hear reports about, oh, Ben Roethlisberger was dealing with a pectoral injury that we don't know when he got it from because the adrenaline was fired. We don't know. Great. You have Najee Harris. He was balling in that game. Your defense is far more superior than the Raiders. But yet, you guys lost. But I'm buying what the Raiders are doing. They're showing grit. This is a big year for Gruden. I know. I mean, not like a big year like he's going to get fired because he's got a 10-year contract. I mean, what do you expect out of that, a 10-year contract for a coach? I don't even know. That's so stupid. Like, how do they give NFL coaches 10-year contracts? It's such a college thing to do. Like, how do you grade that? How do you, what's the scale for that? The margins, like, you know, has he improved every year for the first 3 years? No. The only concern I have about the Raiders is that they did this exact same thing last year. They started off 2-0 and they finished up 8-8. What surprises me that the two of the four teams in NFC West, the AFC West, that are 2-0, are not named the Kansas City Chiefs. The Denver Broncos is the other one. The Denver Broncos, I'm not buying. I feel like I'm selling. They've had easy wins against Houston. And do I have to even say it? The Giants. Was it Houston or was it Jacksonville? I forget who it was. Either way, they played two sorry teams. So in terms of like the strength of victory, it favors the Raiders immensely. Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers have something. They could do something nice here. They might sneak up and get one of the playoff spots in the NFC. I'm not a believer of the Saints. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Like I said, Jameis Winston, he looked good, but he kind of came back to reality in week two, right, against Carolina. So we already know that Carolina owns the tiebreaker over the New Orleans Saints after the week two victory. Sam Darnold, we've been saying it. If you get away from Adam Gase, you become a superstar. Look at Ryan Tannehill. Many years with the Miami Dolphins. Tannehill sucked under Adam Gase. Came to Tennessee, thrown for almost 5,000 yards. Pro Bowler. Awesome. Sam Darnold leaves the Jets, already lighting it up. Has all these little weapons. You know, if he gets like flustered or he gets caught up in things, like, where do I go? Oh, never mind. There's CMC. CMC takes you for a 20, 30-yard gain. Got Robbie Anderson. They reunited. Got DJ Moore on the other side. You've got a better defense. You got a better supporting cast, coaching as well as teammates on that Carolina Panthers team than he did with the Jets. So I'm impressed about what Sam Darnold's doing. Am I surprised? No, because we all expect that. Because when you leave Adam Gase, you become an NFL caliber player, whether it be a quarterback, if you will. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, he coached Peyton Manning. No, he didn't. Peyton Manning coached Peyton Manning. What do you think Omaha was for? Omaha was all the plays that whenever Adam Gase is calling, he's like, Omaha, I'm like, yeah, you don't know, dude. I'm changing your play. That's what Omaha was. He wasn't saying because Adam Gase was calling the play. He's like, dude, this is not going to work. Yeah, Omaha the play, follow me. And that's what Peyton Manning did. Peyton Manning was that coach, not Adam Gase. Adam Gase had the luxury of having Peyton Manning as his quarterback. So let's not get confused there. Tampa Buccaneers, I mean, they're balling. And it was funny because Gronk was saying like he doesn't watch any video, like any tape throughout the week. And he just does whatever Tom Brady tells him to do. Gronk is going to retire when Tom Brady retires. That's how I see it. Their two careers are intertwined. I think the most like player, like his quarterback, tight end, or player, receiver, whatever you want to call their combination, they have the second most touchdown receptions, whatever, behind like Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, I believe. I think that's what it is. That's crazy. Gronk doesn't watch. He's just naturally gifted. He just goes for soft spots, and all of a sudden Tom Brady just throws the ball to him, and he finds him. And then a huddle, they know the plays, whatever. He doesn't watch the tape on who's opposing defender is going to be, and Tom Brady's like, just do this, and it works. I mean, are we really surprised? Are you really questioning that? Because Gronk's already got four touchdowns this year in a very tight and heavy offense. Because you got O.J. Howard there as well. Whatever happened to him? He was a first number one pick. Why is he still on the team? Now he's regulated to backup duties. So I'm not even going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they look solid. They look solid. They're my NFC representative team for the Super Bowl in the story. And I think the only team that can challenge them in any way is the LA Rams. I know that Arizona has a great team. I know they do. Offensively, they're one of the best. Kyler Murray is putting God crazy numbers. I think he's one of the three favorite quarterbacks to win the the MVP this year. It's between him. Already came out with, I think it was Sportsbook or MVP or Vegas. They said that it's right now the leading the pack is Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, and or Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's been playing off the wall. Looked great last week. Looked phenomenal the week before against the Tennessee Titans. And he's continuing on. Has all these offensive weapons at his disposal. You know, dude, really? Murray's like, what you want? You going to guard Hopkins? Okay, no worries. I got A.J. Green. I got who else over there? Oh, that's right. I got Rondale Moore. I got Christian Kirk. Give me what you want. I'll give you Chase Edmonds in the back. I've got options, and I'm going to use all of them. But I don't think Arizona has enough to beat the L.A. Rams defensively. I know they got Jones on the end, and I know they got J.J. Watt. But the Rams have Jalen Ramsey, and that's right, Aaron Donald. The jury's still out as Raheem Morris is the defensive coordinator. The guy's been a journeyman defensive coordinator for many years for the Falcons, for the Washington football team. He played. But when you have two stellar players like that, they're number one in their positions, it kind of makes life a little easier as a coordinator. You could take more risk. You could do more. It helps the other players around you get better because they're ground behind greatness. So you can take a little more risk because you know what you have. So I'm picking the LA Rams. I think the LA Rams is probably one of the only teams that could probably from the NFC beat the Tampa Buccaneers. I mean, the Packers, maybe. They got to get lucky. I mean, I think, like I said, I think last year was the year for them because, honestly, they looked god-awful that first half against the Detroit Lions. I mean, they made Jared Goff look like the second coming of, like, Joe Montana. He was just flicking the ball everywhere. They couldn't stop Jared Goff to save their life. And a receiving core that no one knows the starting, you know, most people couldn't even name the starting wide receiver trio with the Detroit Lions. Because, like I said, I don't trust that defense on the Green Bay Packers side. I just don't think they got enough to win it. I think they're going to give up. If they're going to be one of the top few teams in the NFC, yes. Dallas Cowboys, well, we saw what Tampa Bay did to Dallas. Sorry. Well, was it a neutral site? They go back to Tampa, it's going to probably be the same thing. I'm hoping for another Dallas-Tampa Bay showdown. I really am, because that was fun to watch week one. Opening game, oh, I loved it. Start of the season, what a way to kick off the season. It was a great game. I'm hoping to see a rematch of it later in the playoffs. I'm hoping to see that. So I'm looking forward to some of the games this week. I'm really excited about what's going on. One of the things that I was reading, it was the Chicago Bears. Like, what are y'all doing? Matt Nagy came out and said that if Andy Dalton's healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And I'm asking myself, is that a mistake? Should y'all do that? Is that the right way to go? You got Justin Fields, who basically pulled that victory against, I think it was the Bengals last week. Is Andy Dalton the way to go? And I said, yeah, you know what? Here they are. Because Justin Fields is not ready. Will he start again this season? Yes. Because Andy Dalton can't stay healthy. Couldn't do it last year with the Cowboys. He's going to do it again. I mean, he's been on a downhill spiral since his last couple years with the Bengals. And I'm expecting the same thing this year. He will not be able to. Justin Fields will probably start more games than people think. I just feel bad for Justin Fields because it's like either you're going to ride with him or not. Because you get him in one game, then he takes off for 3 weeks, Andy Dalton comes back, and then it's like, all right, I'm going to start. Then Andy Dalton gets hurt again or something happens and he starts again, or the offense doesn't move, click well enough, then let's go throw Justin Fields in. That doesn't help Justin Fields' progression or his in terms of his career, his growth. Just ride with him. Let Andy Dalton, if he's hurt, let him stay off the field. Let him get healthy and let him be a mentor to Justin Fields and let Justin Fields learn. Look what Kyle Wilson's doing. Kyle Wilson looks like he's just struggling out there. But he's going through what every other rookie quarterback does in the NFL. They go through their bumps and bruises to get better. Even all the great ones did. Outside of Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. But I'm just saying, like, all quarterbacks do the same thing. Let them go through their bumps and bruises. They throw four picks, five picks, great. Fine. Fantastic. Does it give you a chance to win? Yes. Okay, I'm going with that. I'm right with that. So I feel like it's a smart move if they let him come back as a starter for week one of when he comes back healthy. I just feel like let him come back when he's ready to come back. Start Justin Fields. But if Justin Fields is playing well, don't take him out. Just know that Bears, Nagy, coaching staff, you've got a healthy Andy Dalton on the sidelines. He's ready. He's ready to go. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Don't need to. Don't need to. So that's my thoughts of the recap for week one. A lot of great games that happened this past weekend. I was really excited. I can't wait for some of the games to come up this week. We got a couple divisional rival games. We got, you know, Titans, Colts. We've got Cowboys, Eagles. I mean, there's going to be a lot of great games this week. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for them to come up. I'll be talking about more about my predictions and, you know, some start sits later in the week on my next podcast. But before I end this, let me give you some waiver wire pickups going into week three, because I know there's a lot of players that are out there that you should be targeting. One is if you're anything in a two quarterback system, or if you're looking for a streaming quarterback, please go pick up Derek Carr. I mean, I already told you, like, it doesn't concern if the Raiders are for real or not, because we don't care if it's for fantasy or not. Derek Carr is throwing up 400 yards of passing. He's looked great. He spreads the ball around. I like him. I mean, he gets some easier coming weeks against the Dolphins, followed by the Chargers. Go get Derek Carr. If you want, you could possibly even stream him. You could probably even stream him this week. Justin Fields is another one. He looks pretty good. I mean, the week three, I mean, he's got the Browns, but we don't know what, you know, he's going to probably average his best, but, like, he is able to open up things for that Bears offense just by using his feet alone. He makes plays. He gives himself opportunities. He gives himself time. And trust me, I'm hoping for that because I have Allen Robinson on my starting team this week, and I need Allen Robinson to step up. But I need a quarterback in Chicago to help him give him the ball. So I'm thinking, you know, Justin Fields is another player you need to look at. Teddy Bridgewater. Guys, Teddy Bridgewater got the Jets. I mean, what other quarterback do you want that had such an easy three-week stretch? Three-week stretch. And you get the Jets. I mean, are you kidding me? Yes, you have no Judy, but you've got Tim Patrick, who's also should be on your waiver wire pickup. And should start him this week because Jets defense is abysmal. They suck. They're not there yet. Go get Teddy Bridgewater. If you're in a two-quarterback system, play him this week. Please, if he's not out there, if he's already out there, if you have him on your team, start him. If you don't have him and he's on waivers, go get him. Okay? In terms of running back pickups, Zach Moss looked fantastic. We thought that Devin Singletary was going to be the guy, but it looks like Moss might reclaim that starting role as a goal line back for the Buffalo Bills, because he scored twice against the Dolphins last week. So I drafted Moss in two of my leagues. But I know a lot of people, like in other fantasy teams, they get rid of him. They're like, owners are just impatient. And I almost dropped Moss this week for Elijah Mitchell. And I was thankful that I didn't, because Elijah Mitchell, he's out now. But I like him this week. Go pick him up against that Washington football team, which we've seen that you can run on them this week. We've seen it. Okay? Hear my words. Go get Zach Moss. Sony Michel looked great. Came in spot in duty for Anderson last week. But he suffered a ribcage injury last week. And that could sign him for week three. So he'll be questioned against that Bucs defense. I know Bucs defense is really tough. I know they're tough. I know. But he has some PPR format. He has some PPR value to him, because he had 26 receptions in his years with the Patriots. So don't sleep on him. Go and pick him up. I think he's a solid one, because if Henderson's out this week, he could be a plug for a flex play. Who knows? When you have a ribcage injury, that could be multiple weeks. So you have a starter at that flex position. Go get Sony Michel. It's a high offense. Should be fun to watch. Go get James White. Please. If James White is available in your leagues, can you please go get him? He's had at least six catches in the last from the first two games against the for the Patriots. He's getting at least 10 touches. I mean, the guy's a flex play for at least 12 PPR formats. And I know he's got the Saints Bucks coming up, but I'm telling you right now, James White will be that safety valve for that rookie quarterback. So go get him. He's a viable option this week. J.D. McKissic, I know most people have been talking about him. I mean, he's got the Buffalo Bills this week, and he put up a great week two as most, and I'm one of them, Antonio Gibson, frustrated owner, because I don't know what the Washington football team is doing. Gibson was doing well. They just kept going away from him and kept playing McKissic. I have no idea why. And McKissic only had one big catch for 56 yards in that game, which I felt like kind of changed sway that momentum in that game against the Giants. But he's just a flex play. But if you feel like you need somebody at that flex play position, go get him if he's available. Just, I'm telling you, temper expectations. Don't go after him. If I'm going to go after a player that might be available in that flex play position, go get Cordarrelle Patterson, who looks very good behind that Atlanta offense. He's dipped it a little bit into that, you know, Mike Davis role, but, and he's very game dependent in terms of like his game script dependent about what he can be used. But when he's utilized and he's in that offense, he's viable. And he's had 21 touches for the first two games. I mean, you can't argue with that. And he looked comfortable running the game. So I would go ahead and pick up Cordarrelle Patterson. I think he's a strong, probably flex play from one of those deeper leagues, what have you. Then you have Ty Johnson. I'm kind of like not really like sold on him, but like I feel like he's the guy who's basically the person you might want to go get behind Michael Carter, because I feel like Michael Carter has not really separated himself in terms of being that starting running back in the Jets, nor has Tevin Coleman. But if you're looking for a flex play for those deeper leagues, on much deeper leagues, Ty Johnson is somebody you might want to consider because there's a real valuable there. In terms of wide receivers, I like Darnell Mooney. I think that he's been really great. I think he's less than 50% in terms of ownership in leagues. I think he's a preferred play. I think he's a great flex play against the Browns this week. I think he's probably a must add off waivers at the moment for me. You got to go get Darnell Mooney. I think he's a solid play. Elijah Moore, if you want to swing for the, I mean, if you really want to take a chance, sure, but I wouldn't really push more about him. I mean, he's a solid play, and there's no Jameson Crowder. He plays in that, you know, that more or less slot role. You know, he'll probably see more balls, especially this week coming up. So, and let's not forget, the Jets, after this week, get some real nice matchups between Tennessee and Atlanta. We've seen that you could throw the ball on them. So Moore's value, go ahead and pick him up and just have him on your bench, because he'll probably have value moving forward. And as, because we all know, Jameson Crowder has yet to be activated. He's dealt with this ever since his Washington days. So Elijah Moore would be the player I would want behind Corey Davis on that Jets team. Go pick him up, put him on your bench, hold him for 2 weeks, and then when he's in Tennessee, he's definitely a flex play appeal, as well as for the following week against Atlanta. Rondale Moore, we've seen what Rondale Moore has done. 7-8 targets, 114 yards, and a touchdown week two. I mean, he's kind of fit into that wide receiver two role, like, immensely. Like, it looks like Murray trusts Moore. And I know he's got to battle, you know, the Denard Hopkins, and you have A.J. Green, and it feels like Moore kind of supplanted Christian Kirk there a little bit. But for some strange reason, Moore makes plays. Whenever he gets his opportunities, he runs with them. But I'm telling the sign that there's an increased role for that Rondale Moore rookie that you guys cannot ignore anymore. Please go pick him up. And then if this is one that baffles me. If Tim Patrick is on your waivers, please, for the love of fantasy gods, go pick him up. Tim Patrick should not be on waivers. He should be on a team. He should have been on a team last week, because he had a dozen catches for 160-something yards and he had a touchdown. Please go pick him up. I'm sorry, that was KJ Osborne I was talking about. He's my next waiver pickup. But Tim Patrick, the guy's a red zone machine. He's got the Jets coming up. Teddy Bridgewater, trust him. Had over double-digit fantasy points this week. Go pick up him up. He is your flex, wide receiver three, whatever you want to, whatever format you have, he needs to be in your starting lineup this week. He's a starter this week. And then lastly, for my wide receivers, is KJ Osborne. Go look at him. He's had 15 targets over the last two games. He had an opening game, open touchdown last week. Kirk Cousins went to him, and he ended up that game with a dozen catches for 167 yards and a touchdown. Could have some flex appeal against the Seahawks this week because that's going to be another shootout. And I know they have Jefferson, who's kind of taking a step back a little bit. And then you had Adam Thielen, who's doing Adam Thielen things, you know. Not feeling Thielen because he's been pretty solid the last 2 weeks. But KJ Osborne, that's left a lot of opportunities and taken a lot of attention off of him because everyone's focused more or less on Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and Adam Thielen. And he's taken the most of his opportunity. But if you're in deeper leagues, I'm not talking about the 12-man, I'm in deeper leagues, KJ Osborne should be on your radar. In terms of tight ends, you know, I like Jack Doyle. I didn't expect to see that from Jack Doyle. He looks pretty solid. I like the fact that he was able to get, you know, he had like five receptions for a little over 60 yards. But he's included in a lot of the snaps. And I get it. Maybe fearful that you can't trust Doyle right now. Why? Because Wentz is not there. But he will make life a lot easier for that young quarterback against the Titans, who've been pretty vulnerable against tight ends. So I like him. Jared Cook, if he's available, great. Go get him. I mean, he shouldn't be available in your league. But if Robert Tonyan's available, go get him as well. You just have to go get, I mean, let's just be real here. The Cook was on the waiver column, my waiver columns the last 2 weeks. I've seen Tonyan available in a lot of leagues. He wasn't really drafted in many leagues because they didn't know what to expect. Tonyan looks like he's resurfaced. He is now starting tight end week in, week out based off this last Monday night game. Those are the guys you need to look at. In terms of streaming defenses, Carolina Panthers going against the Texans and that rookie quarterback, please go pick up Carolina. And dare I say it, the Las Vegas Raiders? Maybe. That's another one you want to go look at. And even the Denver Broncos if they're available. But guys, those are my waiver pickups for week 3. I want to thank you for joining me today. I had to get a lot off my chest here, in my opinion. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at NFL.junkie, where there's a lot of fun on that page. I do start sit recommendations. I give advice, trade advice. I give rankings for, you know, your teams. I interact with all the followers because I just love talking football, seeing other people's thoughts, where their mental space is in terms of like team matchups, player matchups. It's just a great space where you can just kind of trade ideas and have fun. You can also find me on Twitter at Ray Dosky. WNSR, where I just rant like we all do on Twitter, just go out there and just kind of say what I want to say, and you know, I just have fun with it, what have you. But those are some of those platforms you can find me on there. I'm also here on the Afternoon Stretch. You know, I produce, you know, with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan. You can hear me Monday through Friday. We talk all the time, talking about all kinds of stuff. We do Fantasy Fridays as well, so I'm throwing that plug in there as well. Have a lot of fun on that show. But like I said, thank you so much for joining me, and I hope that some of the waiver wire pickups help you this week. And if you don't, if you need some more advice, you can also follow me. You can find me on NFL.junkie on Instagram, and just DM me, and I'll get right back with you and give you all the advice. But until then, thank you so much. Talk to you later.